organizing side of things going, Judy? Tell me something good about it.
I picked a task, I think, that, well, first I started by saying I wanted to do my computer room, and I think I really did. And then you said narrow it down, and I picked something, and I think I discovered that what I really wanted to do was my computer room, even if I didn't finish it. So
okay.
I did get started with a lot of other things, like moving my desk and putting up saves and things like that that seemed essential to me.
You know, that's interesting. Often we try to, you know, get down to the nitty-gritty and, you know, get a little bit more of a bird's-eye view of what you're working on, but it sounds like you needed to get up a little bit higher.
I think so,
and
yeah.
And see it big before you could see the small.
I think I did.
What a great lesson for all of us. Thank you. Now, did I hear one more beep come on just now?
Brian.
Brian, I knew you were showing up. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you.
Now, I was asking everybody else, and I've heard some wonderful things. What really wonderful thing has happened to you this past?
That wonderful thing for me would be how I am learning about organization times three, as you have shared with us, of our things, our
right.
Past, and of our time, and in particular, how we look at time differently and how to improve in time management.
Well, congratulations to you. Anybody else just come on that hasn't checked in with me yet? No, okay. Well, it is very exciting for me to hear all the good stuff. And I like to start with some of the good stuff before we start coming on with, oh, my God, these are all the terrible things that have happened to me over the course of the week. So, you know, as some of those things come up, you know, kind of think back to what the good thing was that you mentioned to me. You know, I heard fantastic. I heard, you know, learning that you have to look at things in different ways and how to sort things and get past things and learning more and more about ourselves. And, you know, these are all wonderful steps that everyone's taken and learned. And, you know, give yourself a lot of credit for that. This hasn't been an easy process.
No, it hasn't.
Yeah, and, you know, take that in and congratulate yourself. You know, we've got, you know, this hour now to, you know, go through a couple more things. And I know for most of you this is really the beginning of a process and not just, you know, the last class. And you're really taking a lot of skills with you that you're going to be able to use. And, you know, as Brian just said, you know, this, you know, we're talking right here about organizing our things, but you know what? We organize our tasks, we organize our time, and all these processes, all these things that we're talking about, all these questions have to do with those things, too. So it's all very applicable. Just quick reminder, again, if you're in a noisy area, and I don't hear any static or background noise right now, but if anyone, you know, feels like they need something to eat or starts clicking on their computer or anything, just push number 6 to mute yourself, and again, the number 6 to unmute yourself. And please, again, ask questions. This class is geared towards you, not to me. I'm here for your agenda. So unless there's any pressing questions right now, I'm going to go ahead and talk about my agenda for a minute. But if you've got something that you want to bring up, go ahead. Anyone?
Actually, can I say one thing before I forget?
Sure. Say your name first, please.
I'm sorry, Melanie.
Thank you, Melanie.
What was said a little bit earlier kind of made me think of the analogy of like dieting versus improving your lifestyle. And I think that this is not just a three-week process. It's a whole lifestyle change.
It really is. And that is a beautiful segue into what we're going to be talking about, which is the maintenance side of it. Because as you've gone on the diet, you've followed the rules, and you've lost all that weight, or you've gone through all the organizing rules, and now you have this nice little system, and everything is neatly labeled. But how do you keep it that way? How do you keep the weight off? How do you, you know, do whatever? You know, how do you make it part of your life? How do you make it part of your time management? So that's very, very much really what we're going to be talking about, and I'm glad you were able to see that before we even got into it. That's wonderful. So let's just see. I think I segued and I skipped all the stuff I was segueing. So let me just take a quick look at my notes. Thank you, Melanie. You messed me up here, right?
I'm sorry.
Messed up my organization system.
Well, you know, I just think of it all the time. You think of it as, you know, a project, but it's not. It's a way of life.
Yeah, you are so, so right. And you know, I may very well steal that from you and wrap that into some other class that I teach or use that. I take things from my clients all the time because you're usually smarter than I am. So let's just back up one step here and remind ourselves that we've been talking a lot about sorting and categorizing and creating these systems. And we've asked ourselves a lot of questions. Where do you use them? How often does it get used? Why do I want to use it? How would I use it? When in a million years will I use this again? When will I ever be 10 pounds heavier so that this dress will actually fit me? I like to look at that in a positive light. We also talked about labeling things. So we've done a lot of this stuff, and you know, listening to you guys over the last couple of minutes, there's been a lot of work going on here, and there's been probably quite a bit of frustration going on here also. I know, Judy, you really mentioned that, you know what, you didn't start in the right place, and you know what, I was wrong. Yeah, it happened, and we tried to keep you narrow, and you really needed to be higher up for a little while, and then you'll be able to focus down on the one table. So you've been learning, and you've also been making a lot of tough decisions. The whole sorting process, the purging process, this professional organizer word, purging there. These are a really tough place to be putting yourself in. And for people who may or may not be the best decision makers in the world, these are some really tough decisions you've been making. So I mentioned before, and I really want you to really applaud what you've been through, to really recognize how much work you've done, and wherever you are, even if you haven't made as much progress as you had hoped you would make, you've moved forward. And that's really the key. And you know, really just take a moment to congratulate yourself, because it's been hard work. And you know, it's interesting, Melanie, you were saying about how this is really a lifestyle thing. I have really found with my clients that the maintenance part could be the easiest or the hardest. It's the easiest when you've got a system underneath you that supports you. It's the hardest if you're looking at organizing as cleaning up. To clean up every day, that's no fun. But when you've got somewhere to put this stuff because it belongs there, the maintenance part of it is really the easy part. You're not cleaning up. What you'll be doing as part of maintenance is really just putting it away. Where does it belong? Because it really belongs somewhere. You're not making decisions. Where do I need to store this? It's got a home. So one of the things that we touched on last week was how difficult it is to let some of the things go. Well, I've totally lost my place here because I tried to ad-lib a little bit and that just didn't work somehow. We touched on it last week, was the idea of letting things go. And, you know, I was talking about my desk and that, you know, the short little pile of things I had. And it wasn't a big pile, but yet how I viewed some of the things on my desk as being really important to me and my business. And I had to come to grips with the fact that, you know what, these things weren't happening and they weren't going to happen. And they were causing me more harm than good. And really what I had to do was mourn the loss of this idea, of this project, of these things that was really never going to happen. So, you know, one thing to keep in mind a little bit as you're continuing to sort through things and as things keep, you know, new things come up, is that sometimes you need to give yourself time and the space to mourn the loss of things that you might decide not to do. That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. We also, over the course of the last couple of weeks, I was with a client the other day and came up with a couple more questions to ask yourself. And you know me, all I do is ask questions. So, you know, one of the questions we came up with was, why do you want that item to be part of your space or part of your life? So, you know, maybe help give yourself a little distance. And when you're trying to decide, do I want it, do I really not? Why do I want it to be part of my space? Why do I want it to be part of my life? And it may make the mourning process a little bit easier also, because you may be able to say, you know what, I really don't want it to be part of my life, or it really doesn't have space in my life anymore. And one of the questions that, one of the things that came up on the forum this week was the word value wasn't working very well for, who was it? Melanie, that word value wasn't working for you?
Yes.
Okay, and you came up with saying evaluate instead of value. And, you know, there's no right or wrong to any of the questions we're asking. You have to find the ones that are right for you. So, you know, tweaking that question, instead of what value does it have, let me sit back and evaluate what does this do for me. Has anyone come up with any other fun questions?
Any other what?
Any other questions over the last couple of weeks that I could add to my repertoire of questions that I ask, and you could add, you know, we could share amongst each other here as well?
I don't think so.
I do. Something that I have added to my repertoire years ago that I always use is, how bad do I want it? And I use that when it comes to things, when it comes to things that I want to keep versus throw away, or things that I want to achieve, or things that I want to buy. When it comes to anything and everything, I ask, how bad do I want it? And in some cases, I have to write down, I have to think about it and write down things. And when I get to writing, I may end up, instead of writing down three things, I may end up writing down 20 things, and then that emphasizes my efforts to get it.
Okay. And how does that help you to not get it if you don't want it?
Well, when I end up with not writing down as many things as I may have thought, then that lets me know why bother going after when there are more important things. Mm-hmm. Or I may do something similar called the Ben Franklin theory, where you write down how bad you want something, the reasons for it, and the reasons for not. And then when you write down both and look at it, it usually becomes obvious as to whether you should do something or should not when it comes to doing things, getting things, keeping things, et cetera.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot of kinesthetic learning styles. And what kinesthetic is you like to be able to touch and to move things and to really feel your decisions. And my guess is, to some extent, is creating that list for you really helps you to internalize how you feel about it. Creating that physical list and to write it. So it's an interesting thing. And then you also get to visualize, okay, I've got 3 on one side and 17 on the other. Now, how important are those 3?
Mm-hmm.
So anybody else have any ways that they've been helping themselves make some of these decisions?
This is Melanie. One other thing I noticed is if, you know, not only how bad do I want it, you kind of put a weight on something, but to add to that is, I just lost my thought.
You did it to me, I'll do it to you.
Sorry about that.
No, it's fine.
Oh. Yeah, it'll come back to me.
When it does, just let me know, and I'll lose my place again, and we'll be fine together.
Sorry.
We can't have fun doing this. Why are we even trying, right?
it just came back to me. Is where does that item fit into my my mission statement or organization? Is it really part of what I want, or my goals or dreams?
Wow, that's wonderful.
Have you defined your goals and dreams?
Pardon me?
Have you defined your goals and dreams? It's so good for you.
On and off. It's a lot of work and more than I expected, but I try to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. It's a great question to use also. And I have added both of these ideas to my list of questions that I will be using with clients. And if any of us are fortunate enough to cross paths again in the future, then you may very well be hearing me use them. But it is wonderful when you come up with things that really work for you. You know, I could give you lists and lists of questions that don't work, but there'd be one question that just works for you. So it's great when you have them. Thank you for sharing. As I said before, you know, for most people, once they have good systems in place, they find it much easier to stay organized than it was to get organized. And they've been able to maintain their systems. And the key really is the system to fall back on. And I'm going to tell you a very personal story about me and my family here, because I think it really explains how it can be done, but you need to create a way that it gets maintained. After years, I've reorganized our basement, which is a playroom. We've got all the little bins, we've got all the little shelves, we have all the stuff set up there. This is what I do for a living. I should be able to handle this, right? And all I ever did was step on Lego.
Yeah.
And
I know what you mean.
Oh, it hurts your feet, that little stuff. And the playroom was a constant, constant problem. I've got, my two boys are the ones who use it. My daughter doesn't really. They are now 10. Our playroom has been organized for over a year now, which is an all-time record. I was looking, 3 days was a record. So, the fact that it's been organized for over a year now is amazing. And what I did finally is I went down there and I took my own advice and I put all the labels on things and I labeled the bins and I labeled the shelves and I talked to my sons, where does this, do we need this? And we did the whole purging thing and I moved some things around so that they made more sense where they were. But really what made the difference in that basement, all that stuff was incredibly, incredibly valuable. And if that hadn't happened, then it never would have worked. However, what I did at that point was I took it one step further with them. We designed a contract in chalk on the blackboard down there and wrote on the blackboard, I, Mommy, because unlike you guys, they actually get to call me Mommy. I, Mommy, promise to give you a 15-minute warning before dinner every night during which you will clean up the basement. And at that point, you know what? It really is cleaning up the basement. It's not organizing the basement. And then they wrote, I, Eric, Josh, and Sammy, my daughter, Samantha, promise to keep the basement clean and organized, and if we don't, then the consequences were laid out. Now, the reason I tell this story is because ever since then, when I give them their 10 minutes before dinner to organize or to put away, things get put away. And you know what? Even on those days when the playroom's a disaster area, they can put it away easily because the things have their home. But what I've given them is the time and the space in which to do it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Any questions?
And it is working, huh?
It's been over a year.
Wow.
And I sometimes get lax and I forget to remind them, and then it's, an hour instead of 10 minutes. But because I've given them a physical time and space to do it in, it gets done. And you know what? It's pretty painful. Yeah, I don't want to clean up, I don't want to, whatever. You know what? Just do it. This is the job. But it's because there's a system in which to do it. There's a designated time, there's a designated place, there's a designated whatever. Right now, I'm the reminder. But there's a space in which it gets done. Okay? And, hopefully as I'm saying this, you might be thinking, I'm getting my office cleaned up, I'm getting it all organized, how am I going to keep it up? Well, there are really two strategies that people use for maintenance. And they each have their own place, and I really think to a large extent they kind of work kind of in tandem. And they also work in different places at different times. You might want to use one versus the other. The first one that you've probably all heard of is only handle it once. I'm not a huge fan of this strategy. I've, in all honesty, absolutely never, ever, ever seen it work with regards to paper.
I can't even imagine it.
I've never seen it work for paper. I have seen it work, though, in other ways. Now, let me explain it. Let me go through an example where it does work. You're making yourself a pot of coffee. You take out the filters, you take out the one you need, and you put the rest of the filters back immediately. You don't leave it on the countertop. You take out the coffee, now you've got your coffee and your spoon, you use them, you put it away, you put away the coffee, you put the sink in, you put the spoon into the sink or the dishwasher, or maybe, or you wash it and you put it away, and you go all out and do it too. You use the milk, you put the milk away. After dinner is done, you clean up all the dishes and you put them away. So that's how only handle it once could work. In terms of paper, the theory is you get a bill, you pay the bill, you file it, you mail it. You're done with it. You get something, you make a decision on it, you put it on your calendar to do whatever you have to do, you throw it out, you file it, you act on it, all immediately. That I've never seen work. Not to say it hasn't. No one I've spoken to has seen it work yet. There's also something about the written word that seems to need to stop to think, sometimes to absorb what it says, sometimes just to sit on it for a while before you can decide what you need to do. And like I said, I just haven't seen it work. It's very demanding, this system. It means that you're not allowed to clutter up. It means you're not allowed to get things messy. But it does guarantee that there never will be clutter built up. What I tend to do for those people who kind of like this idea is I soften it a little bit. And what I like to look at, when I like to look at this thing, it's more you're working on that project. Take out all the stuff you need for the project. You take out all the stuff you need to make the coffee. You make your coffee, you enjoy your coffee, and then you put it all away. So I look at it more as on a project basis as opposed to a step-by-step basis. That might mean that with mail, you get the mail in, you put all the bills that need to be paid into a single place. They don't just sit on a counter waiting for you forever. And then the time to pay bills is designated. And when you pay bills, you file the paper too. And you get stamps on the envelope so that they can go out the door. Doesn't mean that you have to walk the letters over to the mailbox just then, but they're on their way. So you can soften it in this way. If you're working on two or three different projects at work, you can take out everything you need for one project, put it away, take out the stuff you need for the next project.
I think, Carrie, this is Judy. I think that's what I do when I have my box, my open-top box.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything I need to, say, print out photos, something like that. I just take out that, and then I can put the whole thing back, and I don't have to think about a different place for the manual and a different place for the paper and a different place. It's just all right there. Or when I write checks, I have a little box where everything that I need for writing checks is there. The bills are out in front of me because I don't. My box is in a drawer, and I can't read the bills in a drawer, or I would probably be late.
They need to be a little more visible.
They need to be out, yeah. But everything, including stamps and the return address stamp and everything, is in a little box in a drawer.
Yeah. So your project is ready.
Open top box.
Yeah, your project is ready to go. I was working with one client, and you know, she was telling me she's got like seven different projects going on, and she's got all the piles on her desk, and you know, each one is very well organized. Each project's in a different pile, but you know, it meant that she had no workspace.
Right.
And we talked about a system similar to yours, where she went out and got some Rubbermaid boxes, and she put them, you know, each project in its own box. And you know what? She doesn't have any order to the stuff in the box.
No.
She just gathers the papers on her desk, she throws them in there, and she gets them off her desk, and she pulls up the next box.
Yep.
So that's how she works. And it's kind of a modification on the only handle it once theory, because if you use it, you're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it means that you need to put it away. Any more comments on this only handle it once idea, or, you know, my way of softening it a little bit?
Yes. This is Brian, of course, and I have watched recently, I have watched recently my memory become worse and my focus become more of a concern, and that may or may not be a medical issue, even more so, but because of that, when I do have the handle at once or put things where they belong, oh, it is so easy to totally forget, and then the frustration that that creates. An example of it is, last week when you talked about the bins and labels, I was smiling because I have bins and labels that I've had for years. But today, I looked at one of the bins, and I only have five. I looked at one on the day and said, I didn't know I had a bin for tapes. And I looked in there and saw tapes that I had not seen or knew were in there that I had been looking for, et cetera, and I was just shocked. And it was because I just flat forgot that one of my five bins was taped, and it's a bin that I can easily see. And so when we try to put things, that's part of an ADD thing, when we try to put things where they properly go, and then we forget, we get frustrated, so then we just try to keep it out where we'll see it, and then that creates the clutter, and so it's a little of a catch-22 thing, perhaps.
It is a catch-22, but at the same time, Brian, I'm going to speculate a little bit here, that while you may have had a bin labeled tapes, I'm guessing that not all of your tapes were in there, and that it wasn't a real system that captured your tape. Am I right?
You happen to be correct, and ouch, that hurts, Siri.
Okay, so now what I will take it a step further, if your tapes really belong there, and it's labeled tapes, you're more likely to remember that the tapes go there because you have one cohesive system to capture things. And that's why, while we spent, you know, a bunch of time talking about how to sort through this stuff, we also spent a bunch of time talking about, you know what, you really need to think about how you want to use this system and how you want the systems to support you. Because having six or seven half-created systems, how could you remember that, whether you have ADD or not? You know, just, it doesn't, you know, when you have one thing that you need to remember, it's easier, especially when you have the visual cues that say, these are where all of my tapes go. No question. I'm sitting here with a tape. I have no idea what to do with it. Let me look at the systems I've created to figure out where does it go. So, you know, with that in mind, you know, it may help you to understand why that label wasn't working for you.
So you're saying a little less ambiguity, a little more solid definition.
Yeah. The closer you can get to really defining what it is your system want, what it is you want the system to do for you, and what it is you want that system to manage, the clearer you are on that, the more obvious it's going to be for you while you're creating the system, and certainly when it comes to figuring out, where do I put that tape? Or in my son's case, where do I put the small Lego? There's no question. Where do I put the colored pencils? There's no question in our playroom where the colored pencils go. It doesn't say art supplies. It says colored pencils, markers, crayons. What is art supply? That mean paints also? No, paints don't go there. So how clear can you make it will make the system work better and the maintenance so much easier. I watched my son pick up a pencil off the table, a regular pencil, not a colored pencil, pick it up off the playroom table, look at it, then walk around the room to decide where it went. He found a little bin labeled, you know, with four different things because pencil cases aren't real big, so, you know, there were a couple of things on that bin. And he read pencil, he opened up the box it went in, he put it in there, and he closed the box. This is a little, I guess he was probably a 9-year-old boy with ADD. And it was because the system did it for him. He didn't do it. He didn't have to. He's got way more important things to be thinking about than where does a stupid pencil go.
How do you ingrain systems into your mind that you continue to stay with them?
Good question.
Give me a little bit more explanation of what you mean, because Judy, I think that was you understood exactly what that question is, and I don't. So go ahead, Brian, a little bit more.
Okay. I've been to a lot of stores. I live in big old Columbus, Ohio, and I've never been to a store that saw a branding iron called systems. You just, you know, you just drill this onto your brain, and that way.
So are you asking then, Brian, how do you keep reminding yourself that it's all about the system?
Yes. Now, it's similar to the person that says, oh, looky, I cleaned my whole room looking great, and a week later, a day later, or even an hour later, it doesn't even look like it. So it's ingraining it into yourself to make sure that you continue to do what you know is needed and successful.
Okay, well, we're going to be moving into a little bit more of that, but in a real short nutshell, it's really scheduling the time to do it. And, oh, I'm just going to skip the next thing that I was going to say and turn the page here and talk about the other strategy in addition to the only handle at once. And this is a strategy that I've been working with you guys on the last couple of weeks, is to pick a certain time every day, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, no more than that, to work it, to make it a habit. Now, I'm not going to say all of you because I'm not going to guess people's different hygiene things, but I would bet that most of you take a shower regularly. I bet that most of you brush your teeth regularly. And you're not working all that hard at remembering that it's brushing teeth time. There may be cues like, yuck, I have a yucky taste in my mouth, or yuck, I just ate and I don't like what I ate, or I just woke up or I'm about to go to sleep, and those things may cue you. The same thing happens when it comes to these sort of systems. They're real hard to initiate. You know what? It's hard. My kids would rather not brush their teeth. It's not their habit to brush their teeth when they're 10 and 12 years old. But the more I force them, you know what? It's right before bed. It's time to brush your teeth. It's right before your shower in the morning. It's time to brush your teeth. They start to associate these things together. So over the last couple of weeks, I've really encouraged you to pick a time of day. When is a good time for you to be doing this? And you know what? At the beginning, it's not automatic. It's not automatic to work on a project and put away this stuff right after you're done. It's not automatic from 5 to 6 o'clock at night to be organizing your stuff, to be putting things away, to be, you know, whatever you're doing. But the more you can make it a regular thing, the more likely it is that it does become a habit. And all of a sudden, that word system kind of does get emblazoned on your head because it becomes part of your life. They say it takes 21 days to form a habit. And that's one of the reasons why this class has been 3 weeks long, because that's 21 days, very conveniently. So if over the course of these 21 days you've worked every morning, every night, every whatever, for 15, 20 minutes, you know what, on day 22 you're going to be saying, you know, I think I'm supposed to be doing something right now. And you'll have the option still to say yes or no. But at least your brain will say, it's time to be doing it. That makes sense.
That's very true. It's not something I'm able to do for some reason. I've been trying to get a morning routine in my life for probably a year. I even have it written on the back of my cupboard, in the inside door of my cupboard. Something always distracts me.
Well, then, as a coach, and I've created a lot of morning routines with people, but as a coach, I would say, to really look at the morning routine and ask yourself, do these things really belong here? Am I doing them in a way that makes sense for me? Should I be doing some of these things at a different time of day? Am I asking too much? Am I asking too little of myself? I'd also want to know what pieces of the routine aren't working, what's stopping you to do it. And you're really very much the same questions that we've been asking about organizing our things. It's really, you know, we've mentioned it a couple of times. Time management is just organizing around the clock. So, you know, which tasks do you really want to do? Which ones are adding value to your life? Evaluate them. Which ones, oh, I have to read the question that Melanie had here. Which of these items fit into my mission? Which of these items fit into the goals that I've created for myself and for my day? So, you know, it's really using the same procedures.
I'm Carrie.
Yes.
Hi, this is Michelle Kelsey. How are you?
Michelle.
I just have a quick little story to tell.
Go ahead.
It involves this, and it involves what you mentioned last week or the week before. I think you used the word linking. I have AD. And for years, I've tried to take vitamins and my omega-3s. I could never get a routine going. But when I started on my ADD medicine, I was so motivated to give it a shot and to see if it would work for me that I linked taking my ADD medicine with my supplements and my vitamins. And now I have a habit. Every morning, I have a bottle of water in my bathroom, I take my medicine, and as a bonus, I've linked it to my vitamins, or I've linked my vitamins to my ADD medicine, so now it's a habit. And
that's wonderful.
And from that, I make coffee in the morning, and I've linked my hot cup of coffee with sitting down and looking at my daily calendar, because I used to, when I first got my Palm Trio, I used to put everything in my calendar, and then I would forget to look at it in the morning, which I'm sure is probably unusual. So I've linked my morning coffee with just a quick glance at my calendar, and it's like, it makes sense, kind of. It's like you start your day, you got a caffeine rush going, you look at what's in front of you, but once you link it, and if you do it like you said, like, you got to work hard in the beginning, like, you know, make sure you do it, try real hard, but then the habit just, it's just there, and then before you know it, you don't really have to think about it anymore.
Yeah, in fact, unrelated, but very related, I was speaking with a colleague of mine. She does professional organizing work, and she's done a lot of work with diabetics, and she was telling me that she was at a support group one night, and that the people there, and I don't know what you guys know about diabetes, but the amount of stuff that you have to do, that you have to keep record, it's incredible, you know, incredibly overwhelming for anybody. But she was saying that for the people in the support group, it was such a way of life. It wasn't that, oh, my God, I've got to remember these 17 things. It's just what they did. It just happened. And what you're describing, Michelle, is exactly that. These things just happen. Does it take work to get there? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it just happens. And then you'll find that a couple of days will go by and you forgot to look at that morning calendar. You'll say, what am I missing? Oh, my God, my morning calendar. No wonder why my whole day's been off.
Mm-hmm.
And it really becomes a part of your life. Now, I tend to brush my teeth right when I get out of bed. But those days that, you know, something happened and I just didn't get there, I would have eaten breakfast and I'm like, what is up? Oh, God, I need to go brush my teeth. That's what's going on here. And you'll come back to it. And you'll find comfort in those routines.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, this is good. I've got not that much more here, and I have lots of time for questions, which is really what I wanted. You know, there are days when, you know, like I mentioned, you know, sometimes just really, really not in the mood to do it. Really, really not in the mood. There are a couple of things you can do. One is to simply give yourself a bye. Let yourself say, you know what? I'm not doing it today only. Tomorrow, I'm right back here, and I'm going to forgive myself for not doing it today. I prefer you not do that, but you're allowed to, because we're human, and you know what? Sometimes just life happens. I'd like you to not do that until you get past day 21 or 22, but to understand that things do happen. The other thing you could do is force yourself to just put away or to glance at, you know, Michelle, just take a quick glance at the calendar. I'm not going to spend any time with it today, but I just want to glance. So I have anything coming up that's going to kill me. Or all I'm going to do is spend 2 minutes putting away the two really big things that's cluttering up my whole desk. And maybe move one or two things and really say to yourself, it's okay, I'm just going to move these one or two things or just do these one or two things. You may find that after one or two things, there's really not that much left, and that you're really kind of motivated to just finish it, and that really the hardest part was getting started. And once you start, you realize it doesn't suck quite as bad as you thought it would. So, you know, those would be the things that, you know, on those days where you just can't do it, either forgive yourself and let it go for the day, or to just do a tiny bit, just pick one little piece of it that you can stomach doing. Any questions or thoughts on this one? Any comments?
I have one.
Yeah.
One thing that works for me when I am quote-unquote not in the mood, something that I learned here lately that is worth its weight in gold is alarms. In fact, I need to get some talking alarms, and I need to get a watch that has more alarms and so forth on it, which might relate also to, I forget who it was that talked about when they don't feel like, when they have difficulty creating the system that works, maybe it's an alarm that goes off. that reminds them at a certain time. But I'm also saying that to say, when I'm not in the mood, I might just set an alarm and say, okay, Brian, if you do such and such within 15 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever, afterwards you get to reward yourself with blah, blah, blah. And I will make it something small.
Yeah.
Real small. You know, buying something on the internet, on eBay, that costs 99 cents to $10 or whatever. So something or something similar to that. So I try to either challenge myself with rewards or consequences, set an alarm. And something about setting an alarm, you know, like we had talked about, the neurotransmitters line up and say, all right, just do it.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like you have an out time. That's why, you know, I'll often say, you know, just do one or two things, or, and when I'm saying one or two, I mean like 1 or 2 minutes worth of things, or literally set an alarm clock for 3 minutes. I'm just going to put this stuff away for 3 minutes, and at the end of 3 minutes, I'm walking away from this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to allow myself to walk away, even if there are more things on my desk. But to thank yourself and to reward yourself and to recognize yourself for the 3 minutes you put in, because it's 3 minutes you weren't going to. And I bet you all could get a lot more done in 3 minutes than in 10. I know I can. Let's see, what else? You know, it's interesting, the maintenance schedule, when you talk about having a regular maintenance practice, a lot of people, you know, go into work. Some people will like to do it at the beginning of their day. Some people will like to do it at the end of their day. Some people like to do it as, you know, kind of more like the only handle at one thing as they do projects and stuff like that. There are some people who really can't do it on a daily basis. And for those people, I say, you know what, if you really want to do a once-over in your office every Friday or every Monday or whatever it is, that's okay too. But if you plan on doing something like that, you need to physically schedule it into your calendars, which hopefully have alarms and everything else. Really identify when are you going to be doing this. And you know what? For you, if you're going to be doing this once a week, the buy thing, just like letting it go this week, not going to work.
No.
It really needs to happen regularly at that time. There's no excuses allowed. You know, the other thing I would say is if over the course of a week or over the course of 5 days or whatever, the piles get too big for you to stomach, bring it down to every 3 days that you do this instead of every week, something like that. So, you know, the key is to build in a regular maintenance time, like I did with my kids in the basement. 10 minutes to dinner time, guys. Clean-up time, that's what we do now. No magic time other than the time that works for you. Okay? Let's see. We've got 15 minutes. We are doing good. I just want to, you know, try to do a little bit of a wrap-up here. It's important, and you know, like I just said, it's important to respect yourself, the way you think, the way you learn, the way you behave, and to really understand what you need to do to support yourself. And, boy, there's going to be a lot of trial and error here. You know, Judy, we pointed you in the whole wrong direction. Talk about trial and error, and you still came back. Thank you. But, you know, there's going to be trial and error here, but the key is to learn from this. And, you know, Judy, when you and I cross paths somewhere in the future, I'm not going to tell you to come down to the tiniest little thing anymore. I'm going to maybe say, look higher, and then we'll start to narrow our focus. Mm-hmm. So to learn what works for you, to, you know, keep in mind these little tricks, to post the questions that you need to ask yourself every time you go through the mail, and post those questions maybe where you open the mail. And to create these systems, these routines that really will support you. You know, the alternative to recognizing that there's going to be trial and error as we go along is to stay exactly where you are today. And
right.
Just by the fact that you're on this phone call, I know that's not what you want to do. And whether or not you've made tons of progress or not, this is something that's really, really difficult. I'd be amazed if any of you got through everything over the course of 3 weeks. It's taking you a lot longer than 3 weeks to accumulate, and it's going to take longer than 3 weeks to organize it and systematize and do what you need to do with it. But you're really on the path to getting there. And really, you know, acknowledge all the successes you've had. So, you know, my next question is any of you, how, whether or not you've even gotten to the point where you're ready to start thinking maintenance, how do you foresee yourself being able to maintain the systems that you're creating? Anyone want to chime in with an idea?
I think, this is Judy, I think maybe the way that I open the mail might give me a cue as to how to maintain, and that is to have a designated place for each thing. And that way, you know, and labels, of course, but I open my mail in exactly the same place every day, and what goes into the recycle goes in immediately.
That's great.
So for me, it attaches to place, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm at the same place, I think maybe that's why I wanted the table cleared off, so I would have a place for one area of my life and a place for another area. I have a nephew who has ADD also, and that's how he manages his professional life,
mm-hmm.
Is with workstations that have to do with each area that he's working on. So I think maybe I have some of that in me, too, attached it to a place.
And is there a certain time of day that you could see yourself trying to keep up with things regularly?
I haven't been able to do that. My days are so different. They really are. So I've worked on that, and I'll keep working on it, but I haven't been able to do that. I can see a time of the week more easily than I can see a time of the day.
Okay. And you may want to start with the focus there and not do exactly what I always tend to do is get down to the nitty-gritty hour, but
mm-hmm.
you're seeing a time of the week that's the higher view, and that might help you to focus down on the more narrow view.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
If I may add, please, what Judy said about workstations, I love that. I had to write that one down and circle it. I am trying to use this in my employment life, and I wanted to ask how others are doing, relatively speaking, in their employment life, because when I think about organizing, I'm striving to do it to improve my employment situation because I'm racking my brain about my personal employment situation that I either need to make drastic improvements or, as my wife says, get a different job that is more ADD friendly, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a lot of people with ADD, the occupational situation is brutal. So I still have big questions in that area, particularly since here in Ohio, employment is rough. The unemployment rate is rough. Getting the jobs are rough, et cetera. And so that leads me to keep jobs that I have and simply create systems to make it more successful.
One of the things you can do, Brian, and it really is exactly the same as the stuff we're talking about here. Look at work. Look at everything that work is. And ask yourself, just like we did, day one of this class, first 15 minutes, if you could only affect one thing at work, what would have the biggest effect on you? And that's where you begin.
Say that, please, again, if I could.
If you could only have an effect on one thing, if you could only work on one thing at work that's going to have the biggest effect throughout everything, where would that be? How do you start thinking what's going to have the biggest bang for the buck here? And, it might be working on a calendar at work. It might be, coming into work every day and having a clear desk. It might be talking to my boss every single Monday morning. It might be, who knows. But what could have the biggest effect on you at work? It's exactly the same thing we've done here. We asked you, where would have the biggest effect for you? And you said organizing my mind would have the biggest effect. So how do you take that then? You're taking that same, what's going to have the biggest effect, and you're taking it a little bit more narrowly, what would have the biggest effect at work? And that's where you begin.
Right.
Now, I just want to say a couple of things really quick, and then the rest of this time is for you. I personally need to thank each and every one of you on this call. whether you've actually made it to all the calls or you're listening into the call on audio, because I don't think everyone's made it to every call because we have schedules. But however you've done it, I need to thank you for the support you've given me. I have learned so much from all of you. I've taken notes just like you've taken notes, because you know some of the questions that come up, some of the ways that you've looked at things so differently than I've looked at things, have really added incredible value to me. And the questions that you've asked, the way you've participated, has made it so much more that, you know what, I'm just not reading a script to you. And it's just made my life much more enjoyable. So I need to thank you for that. And I'm now going to shut up and I'm going to let you guys ask whatever questions you want. And we've got a couple more minutes, so let's do it.
I'd like to make a couple comments. Again, this is Melanie. The one thing I wanted to let you know, Carrie, it's been very helpful. And, you know, I watched several shows on organizing and finance and a bunch of different things. And your job, although, you know, your title may be professional organizer, is mostly psychology and how to really get people to look at things differently.
That's very true.
And make change. I mean, so that is a tremendous help for a lot of people like myself.
Oh, I'm glad.
The other thing I wanted to make, and this is not really organization-wise, but more of an ADD kind of thing, is, you know, there are things that, you know, I don't pick up frequently, and I, you know, put them in a safe spot, and I never can find my safe spot again. And so... And also, this past year has been extraordinarily stressful for me, and I took participated as a patient in a research study on stress reduction, and one of the techniques was meditation, and anyway, the CD that we listened to talked about mindfulness, about living in the exact moment, not living in the future, or thinking about what you're going to say to or respond to somebody else's comment, but living in the exact moment. And I think, you know, it takes a lot of work, but it has helped me try to, you know, stay more focused and not lose anything.
It is very, very hard to live in the moment and not worry about what's coming next or what you did yesterday or any of that stuff. And, yes, I can see that really helping to make you a lot more conscious of what's happening.
I agree with Melanie. I think it is does make it easier, and I think in the very way that you were talking about earlier, Carrie, handling certain things only once, like your coffee creamer and your sugar and your, if you're mindful and you're only thinking about making coffee, it may slow you down a little bit because your thought process is taking up mental energy, but I think it helps a lot. I think it helps a lot if you're not thinking about the rest of your day and you're not trying to plan it in your mind while you're making coffee. I agree with Melanie. Hard, but I agree.
And just one thing I want to clarify with you, Melanie, is while I am a professional organizer, I really am a coach. And there is a distinction between coaching and psychology, but a lot of it kind of in some ways boils down to the same thing. You're looking at helping the person to understand where they are and where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I do the organizing side of my business more as it's interesting, and I could tell you all about it, but, you know, I started as a professional organizer and came to coaching. And at this point, I really do a lot more coaching, and a lot of the organizing I do is in the format of coaching people.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to put that one out there. You know, coaching is where I ask all my questions. You know, I like those.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else out there?
I have one.
Yes, Brian.
I have this, I want to ask what you think are to be some great books, and I think you've got some listed on your website, but I had this quote-unquote dream about a great book, for lack of a better word, it basically would be something like 100 or 200 quick ADD tips, and it would be basically be whatever you're dealing with. There might be a page that has 10 different tips on it that would help you with whatever you're dealing with. So if a person is dealing with problems today with time management, or maybe they're dealing with problems today in relationships, or they're dealing with problems today with getting motivated, they can simply turn to that one page and within 15 minutes read the top 10 commandments that help in that particular area and give them the spark that they need to chop, move on versus, you know, no one, a lot of times people don't have the time to sit down and read a whole book or a whole chapter on this and that and so forth. But a quick temporary fix.
Like a little laundry list of things to be doing on a specific issue.
Correct. And you may know of certain books, magazines, et cetera, that have things such as that, or certain websites that have things like that, or if the group is interested or if the group has any suggestions in something like that, that would be great. But I have some of that. I have one or two sheets that have quick tips on time management. But if you're dealing with certain other things and you need a quick laundry list, that...
Yeah, I've seen tips and tricks all over the place. Every book has, you know, a couple of pages here or there. I haven't seen them all compiled into one. And, you know, as you're speaking, of course, my brain is saying, oh, this is something I could compile one of these days. Another thing to add in one of my piles. But I will keep my eyes out for that for you.
Okay. Yes. Or if you got in touch with the right person who took that idea and ran with it, he would probably have the ability to finish task and make $1 million on it.
Well, I just say try.
What'd you say?
I said, I just may try.
Hey, wonderful. Go for it. Just remember us little people, you know, when you
I always do. I always do. Anybody else have something else they want to add to this?
Well, in addition, this is Judy, in addition to thanking Terry, I want to thank everyone on the forum as well, because many of the comments on the forum were very helpful, and not just helpful, but also made me feel like we're all in the same boat, which is a very good feeling.
And that's actually very similar to what Tony was saying at the very beginning when she and I were on the call alone for a minute.
Oh, good. I'm glad she said it also.
Yeah, that, you know, just the difference. Tony, are you still here? Now, she, I know, was traveling, so I wasn't sure she was going to stay on.
Tony, I'm here.
Okay. Do you want to just repeat what you had said at the beginning?
Yes. You wanted to know why I said that I was doing great.
Fantastic. Come on.
Six. Usually when people ask me how I'm doing, that's never my answer. But it was today, and you wanted to know why. And I said, you know, it's funny what Brian said, because I have all the books. I have every freaking book that anybody ever wrote to the stress. I know all about the hunter in the farmer's world and all that other crap. But the thing that worked for me this time was us in the forum.
Mm-hmm.
This for me is like, that's the kind of support I need. I need to know, A, that I'm not a complete freak or alien, because I'll do that. I'll feel like, what is wrong with me? The rest of the doesn't have this problem, and the forum helps me sleep. I mean, I enjoyed, I'll admit it, secretly laughing when I read some of the emails, only because I could have written them.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun to watch Judy with, you should see my computer room.
But, you know, we're laughing at each other with recognition and with support and not with malice.
Oh,
yeah. And with camaraderie. And that's really what it's about.
So that's my message to Brian. The thought of compiling it, that's the kind of thing that I'm doing something, I say, oh, I should compile this, and then I go off to start a project like that that's just impossible. I think that we should just email each other and say, I've come upon this thing that I've never handled before. Do you have any suggestions?
Mm-hmm.
Well, can I reply, please? That's Judy, right?
Yes.
That was Tony.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tony, A1, you're on. I love it, and I will tell you that The first thing that I am going to do is put on the forum, if it pleases the court, Your Honor, Ms. Carey, is the time management document that I have that is a one-sheet tip on improving time management. And I have this phrase of mine called give a little, take a little, and I think I put something like that on the forum. And what can I give to the group and what can I take? So what I first thing I want to do is see what I can give, which is the reason why I did what I did last week that I thought was just, even I thought it was out there a little bit. And I greatly, greatly, greatly thank everybody, especially Carey, on helping me with my challenge and helping me see what was going on with my time management and whatnot. I thought that that was wonderful, and the replies from everyone was wonderful, and I greatly appreciate that. And to answer what Tony is saying about the camaraderie thing, yeah, we all have great books, this, that, and the other, but ADD people love helping people and literally need people. We like to be told something instead of reading it because of the people connection and how it affects us. So
but it is about 7 or 8 minutes after 5, so we do need to break this up. Just again, everybody, thank you so, so much for all of your wonderful support of me, for all of your kind words, for your participation. You know what? Congratulations. You guys have worked your tails off, and I didn't say anything nasty there. You've worked your tails off. You've worked really, really hard, and you really deserve to congratulate yourselves and to really recognize anything that you've done. So congratulations.
Thank you, Carey.
Thank you.
Thank you all.